Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Teaching with Class podcast, the podcast that gives you quick, actionable tips to easily implement in your classroom. I'm your host, Kate Klein. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the role of emotional intelligence in being responsive to children's needs for emotional support. We will specifically touch on the topic of adverse childhood experiences, their impact on Black children, and our role as educators in providing emotionally supportive environments for them. We're joined today by Latasha White. Latasha has worn many hats during her career in early childhood education as an educator, a center director, an instructional coach, and a PD facilitator. Latasha is also currently the vice president of the Chicago affiliate of the Black Child Development Institute. So she has a lot of important and impactful information to share with us today. So let's get started. Hi, Tasha.
Hi, Kate.
Welcome to the podcast. This is going to be a really exciting conversation today. I'm excited for it.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So we are going to spend some time talking, thinking together about emotional intelligence and emotional support for children. And we want to specifically carve out some time to think about adverse childhood experiences and their impact on Black children and the environments that we provide in classrooms to be particularly supportive for Black children. So this is a really exciting conversation to have, one that's sorely needed. Honestly,
everything's to talk about.
Yeah. So welcome. And before we dive into the topic, I always like to find out from the guests, like, what's the pull for you to this topic? How do you connect personally with this topic?
Well, I lived it. First of all, it's very dear to my heart. And I also have family and friends who have also lived through ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. Right. So it's something that I'm very familiar with. And I know that if we have more awareness surrounding it, of course, the people are going to do what they do, which is we nurture and make things better. And so I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. It's a challenging topic, right? It's real stuff. And we're talking about real people in real situations. Yeah. And these are children, right, that are in our classrooms every day.
Absolutely.
And adults who have maybe experienced their own things that are caring for these children also. So it's a big topic. So tell us a little bit about yourself and just like what you've done in your journey and what brings you here to talk to us from this expert's, perspective today.
What I've done in my journey. I've done so much, but professionally, of course, as you know, I have been a coach and a trainer, an educator. Right now, I am currently the vice president of Black Child Development Institute, Chicago, which is an organization that advocates for Black children and their families, giving them the resources and being in policy in places where they can't be themselves to represent their voices and concerns. And so this is right up my alley, Kate.
This is awesome. Okay. So let's sort of frame the conversation a little bit today. We're going to talk about some sort of technical things, right? Emotional intelligence and adverse child experiences, things like that. Yeah. So let's sort of make sure everybody's on the same page and define some of these terms. So how would you like us to think about let's start with emotional intelligence.
Yeah. I think that probably Dr. Bradbury described emotional intelligence the best for me. He said that emotional intelligence is the ability to recognize and understand emotions within yourself and others, but also like your ability to use that awareness to then manage your behavior and your relationships. And so when we're thinking about emotional intelligence, I like to use that definition.
So it's both, it's an awareness, but it's an action aspect also.
Absolutely.
It's putting it like I'm aware of things that are happening within me, around me. Internally. I can tell other.
Yeah.
And then I use that to inform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. There are five skill sets within emotional intelligence. And without opening the Pandora's box on brain science, it's just, you know, self-awareness and self-regulation and motivation and empathy and social skills. All of that is within emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, wow. We definitely know that if we're going to provide an emotionally supportive classroom environment, those are skills that we need as educators for sure.
Well, emotional intelligence, remember a while ago, it used to be like a soft skill. Remember?
Right.
It sounds like a soft skill. And now it's really considered a predictor of career. Success and adaptability. So it's something that employers are looking for when you go in to get a job.
It's not just a nice to have. It's a need to have for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's also get our definition of adverse child experiences. What do we want to remember that today?
Okay. ACEs. Adverse childhood experiences. I learned about ACEs through Dr. Nadine Burke Harris. She's California's Surgeon General. And she said that adverse childhood experiences is the single greatest threat to our nation, which of course, I perked up, like, what is this about?
Yeah.
And her work was, it is essentially centered in research done by the CDC that proved that there are 10 major stressors of early adversity. They range from abuse and neglect or living with a family member with substance abuse, poverty, racism and discrimination. Mm. And those stressors impact both the mental and the physical health of adults later in their life. So,
okay.
Big thing.
Yeah. So these things that may have happened in, you know, our lives as when we were children, affecting us, and then the children we work with, things that are currently happening or have happened to them in their life up to that point, it's likely to affect them in the future also.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like
mentally and physically though.
There's so much.
Like higher blood pressure, diabetes, those types of things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of huge in a way. I was so interested in that work. I just kind of dove into it. And again, this is why I'm here today to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So where should we start? Like we also said educator sensitivity. So let's think about, like there's so much, right? Educator sensitivity around like just being aware of and responsive to children in the classroom and making sure their needs are getting met. And so I'm thinking about this from like that educator perspective of like, where do I start? How should I be aware? What am I looking for? Right? Like there's a ton of questions going through my mind right now. Where can you give us a good place, a good jumping off point if we want to be thinking about this?
I think probably to start with self-awareness.
Okay, let's start.
I think that teachers often we're teaching emotional intelligence to children and sometimes not as emotionally intelligent as we believe we are. I think self-awareness is the most important skill set in emotional intelligence because that's really about knowing your triggers, right? If you've ever been in a classroom like I have where a teacher had an intense stare down with a toddler because she was so triggered about it and they escalate those minor toddler things or kid things, right, to something that's not, it makes me think, like, what is it that's truly triggering? And are you aware of this? Or is this a pattern that you're unaware with? So self-awareness is really the biggest piece of teacher sensitivity to me.
Yeah.
And also empathy, of course.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, what other children or their families might be going through.
Right. So How can I build my self-awareness? It's such a touchy thing or tricky thing, right? Where if I'm in that moment or approaching a moment, things happen out of the blue in a cloud. Like children are kind of really unpredictable little beings, right? Like something might, what am I on the lookout for? And what do I do next?
Well, I think that the pause is a great place to start, right? Okay. If a certain behavior is aggravating or causing you to feel some kind of way, because that's what happens often, right? You feel some kind of way, then you have to know that that's a trigger. And we have to look deeper, right? We have to be more introspective. Why am I feeling this way? Is there a cause behind this? You know, what are my options right now? Can I pause and just stop and not address it? Can I get to it later? Can I circle back to it? I think that the pause is such a great place to start because it allows us to be introspective and to figure out what's really going on here.
Right. Because if you're feeling some way, that pause helps you get to a moment to think. There might, instead of just blaming and reacting to this child that they're the like they're doing something, it's making me feel some kind of way, and then I just lash out, and then it just escalates, right, for both of us.
Yeah, and also, what really happened here, right? Let me figure it out. Like, let me truly be here in this place and figure out what happened instead of having that jerk reaction to, you know, or what else could be going on here. The pause and going deeper are really key to emotional intelligence with teachers, right? Awareness. It is also, of course, a big piece of understanding the children that are within your classroom and really knowing them very well. So it helps us to really, I remember back in the day when I'm old and telling my age now, but back in the day when teachers would actually pick up the phone and talk to parents. And now we have all these apps and texts and all of those things. But they knew what was going on in the community and with the families, if the family was going through, you know, something or things such as that. But now we are very electronic, heavy on the text messages and the apps and things such as that. But the pause allows you to think about all those mitigating factors that might need to be considered.
What else might be going on for this child? What else might be going on for me right now? Yeah. All of those things. And then the other thing you mentioned was empathy, right? And I mean, honestly, you get to be an adult, you like supposed to have empathy, right? We're supposed to have made that leap of understanding, like other people have feelings and experiences in life and things like that. But we tend to, I think, not always empathize with children and what they're, right? We don't always look at what's going on for the child in this moment and things like that. What do they think from their, what are they getting in this experience in this moment, right? And tell me, let's just talk about empathy for a few minutes. What else would you want to say about that?
Well, I think at the very core of empathy is understanding people's emotional makeup, what they're going through, what they've experienced, understanding, even if you're not in that situation or haven't experienced it, understanding that this is a very real thing. You know, kids are little people. Right. So they have emotions and they have responses and reactions. So I think allowing us to put ourselves in the place of children can be very helpful. Oftentimes, I am told that I have a childlike curiosity because I always want to know how everyone feels and, you know, what's behind that. And I think we could use a little bit more of that. Be curious, like, what's going on with you? What's happening here? You know?
That kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like this idea that children have expectations. Yeah. They have needs. They have, they're coming into a classroom with thinking today is going to be a certain kind of way, and or they've got something they want to play with that somebody else is taking, whatever, right? Or they're fearful at nap time. They're lonely for a person at home that cares for them, or like they have these things they're experiencing.
Absolutely. They have those experiences. And, you know, I think as we're talking about, you know, teacher sensitivity, which is one of my favorites for the class measures, I love how teacher sensitivity kind of goes in order, right? You know, first you have to be aware, right? If you're not aware, which we just talked about awareness, there's no way you can respond, right?
Right.
You know, and so then after that, we are addressing the problem, and then you have that student comfort. All goes in order, right? But it starts with the awareness. Mm-hmm. You're aware that children have needs. They have expectations. They have feelings, right? Their feelings get hurt. They have excitement, mm-hmm. you know, and then being able to respond and address those emotions appropriately. Contingently is really important in order to get to that space where you have to address the problem, and then you have that student comfort where they're feeling free to take risk and they're feeling free to participate. I love that it's made that way in the tool. That's exactly how those one after the other.
Right. And what we're adding is this layer of like responsive awareness, rather, is more than just like I'm noticing what's going on in the classroom. Yeah. And then, but I'm also internally aware. Using my emotional intelligence, right, of my awareness of myself and my environment and what's happening, my awareness of other people. And then that that empathy is woven in that responsiveness, right?
Yeah.
So all of these things are sort of augmenting our understanding of awareness and responsiveness.
Right. And essentially, that is the emotional intelligence piece, right? It's that, again, internal piece, right? So in the class, we talk about what's being aware of what's going on in the classroom, and what's going on with the children, but also that introspective piece of what's going on with us inside. Is the other half of that. Like, and that's emotional intelligence. It's not only being aware of others, but also being aware of what's going on with you. And that is the piece that I see often that's missing with not just teachers, but folks in general. I mean, it's easier to say, oh, this is going on with you, right? This is going on right here. I can assess this, what's happening here.
Yeah.
More difficult to say, this is what's going on with me. And why am I doing that? Why do I keep doing that? That's like a pattern, right? I have to find out what's causing that, right? So it's easier, I get. But that's the piece of it. You can't have one without the other and be emotionally intelligent. You have to think about yourself. You have to think about the students as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to add this other layer that we wanted to bring into the conversation today too, about ACEs and Black children. And one of the things that impacts how we are aware and respond to children, right, especially Black children, might be our own biases about what we believe to be happening in this moment, or what we notice and what we dismiss, what we support, what we punish, right? All of those things can be are influenced by what we, you know, what we read into a situation. So,
and that's the thing about biases, right? We don't even often know that we have them.
Yeah, they can be
And how do we become aware of that? But by doing self-reflection, unless somebody like me tells you, listen, you have a bias. Is that a bias there, right? Why did you think that, right? So I think that that's important to look at as well. You know, oftentimes people who have biases, whether teachers or just in general, they are not aware of it. Here we go, back to awareness. How you become aware of it. And I think that, again, what we have to think about are those triggers, right? When we think about triggers, when we think about those, triggers are pretty much events that cause us to have a response, a reaction to something, I think that's the place to pause, right?
Right.
Why am I feeling this way? What is going on? You know, why did I say that? You know, right there is the place where we can begin to look at those biases and thinking about, you know, what awareness looks like in an unbiased state, to consider the difference between, is this a actual misbehavior or do I have a bias going on here? Right. You know, and what could be behind it? Is there a family issue at home? Is there a new friend influence? What is going on here? And it all comes back to the pause, right? And really taking the time to think about it.
Do you have, can you just kind of off the top of your head, can you think of an example of something maybe you've coached a teacher through or something like that, where this really was sort of underneath their response to a situation was maybe either a lack of emotional intelligence or a particular bias that had them always responding to a particular child in a certain way or not responding to the child because they had a bias, right? Like, right? Does anything sort of pop into your mind?
Yeah, you know what? I go back to the situation that I spoke of earlier. I was in a classroom, a toddler classroom once, and there was a child who was, the teacher had expressed to this child that the child should put away his toys and then go and get ready for lunch. And the child was not ready to put away his toys. And so the teacher went and stood over him and said, I told you to put those toys back in the cubbies right now. And the child stood up, and I promise you, Kate, I was counting, you know, I'm observing this classroom. I'm counting.
Right.
We get to 60 seconds. I mean, this is a full on stare down. And after that, the child, another teacher kind of came in and helped the child to get their toys away. And I went to coach the teacher after that session. And I said, why did you feel so strongly about that in that moment? The teacher said that that child, that particular child, had a problem with defiance, right? And that teacher felt disrespected by that child. And not only that, she thought that if she allowed that child to disrespect her, then all the other children would disrespect her. Now, after talking back and forth with her for a few more moments, what we really came to was that there was a need for control, right? And not only was there a need for control, but that her pattern was to gain control by threatening, which she didn't even realize, right? She thought, okay, well, this is like a consequence. No, you know what we teach? There's a difference between consequences and threatening, because that is a tactic used to instill fear. I never really thought about it like that. I mean, that's just the way that they get it done. What else was going on in the home was that the dad had left the home. And so he'd been having a few behavioral issues and things such as that. But she wasn't considering that. She was only considering that if this child didn't do what she said at that time, then this was going to be the rest of the child was just going to go, just the rest of the classroom is going to go crazy. Everyone was going to start disrespecting her. She would lose control.
Chaos.
It would be chaos. Yeah. So those were the internal issues that we kind of had to go down. You know, it was just like the process of going down. Like, but why?
Mm-hmm.
But why? And when that happens, how do you feel about that? Right. So kind of situation.
Yeah. And then did you, what happened in the future in that, like, was that teacher, did they express more like awareness in the future around those moments or what did you see happen?
So our coaching kind of became a trigger. She would stop. She began to stop and really figure out like when it was happening. She actually said that she knew that it was going to happen because she had a feeling in her stomach when she dealt with those kinds of, those are the things we need to pay attention to, right? Mm-hmm. Is your body having a physical reaction to a behavior of a child? Mm-hmm. Let's stop there. Let's figure out why. What's going on here? Because I think that sometimes, or most times, triggers do give those physical reactions. I mean, and you can clearly see it in the video. You can clearly see it.
Right.
You can see her tense up. You can see mm-hmm. those shoulders square up. She's mm-hmm. looking this child dead in the eye. And they're at it, right? It's just, there was just a wall. No one was moving. This child, I don't know where he is today. But he was fearless in that stare right back at her. So it just became a process. And this doesn't happen. It didn't happen overnight. I think that was a coaching intervention that happened probably over a course of a year.
It takes time
to change behavior, right?
Right.
And so I won't even say that at the end of the year that all was perfect. But I can tell you she was absolutely more aware of her responses and her reactions and understanding how to, which is another part of emotional intelligence, self-regulate.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Not only for children, but for us, right? How do we regulate our emotions and our reactions to people in general?
Yeah. And knowing when you're feeling that thing happening to catch it before it becomes something you act upon with a child, especially, I mean, out in the world, it would be nice to regulate ourselves all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I think that this idea of it's not going to happen overnight, you've got to build that awareness. You have to build that skill of self-reflection, which is a skill.
Absolutely.
Understanding where these things come from. How did this even get built into me that I have this reaction to defiance?
Well,
you know, right? And the need for control and all of that.
So. Because triggers are really events that are shaped by our own personal experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Our own personal history. So it's somewhere in there that something happened. We just don't know what, right? At times. Sometimes we're aware of it. I'm very aware of my triggers and I try to stay away from things and people that trigger me, but it's not always possible. So what we have to do is develop that self-regulation, controlling or redirecting those disruptive impulses or moods.
Yeah. So we might have moments where we pay attention to something and we're reacting to it. We might have a moment where we're like not wanting to pay attention to it because that's something that we are like, ugh. And that could, right? Instead of like calmly regulate and address something in a fashion that helps a child build regulation, that helps me as an educator, keep myself regulated and all of that. Yeah. We are coming close to the end of our time together. I feel like there's lots of other things we need to talk about. Yeah. Do you want to share with us any more like specific information from the perspective of how we can support Black children in our classrooms, things we should keep in mind, and just talk to us for a few minutes about that?
Yeah.
Or we close up here today.
I think it all comes back to awareness again. I'm going to stay on awareness. It's so important. I think that teachers should get to know their students personally by learning about their interests and their strengths and their challenges. I think that, of course, having a welcoming, unbiased classroom environment is great. Establishing again, going back to that family, because community and family are important in Black culture. So establishing that open communication with families, picking up the phone, having a conversation, right? Not just a text. I think that engaging with the community outside of school is important. And of course, recognizing and acknowledging those family values. So I think those are all key points that teachers should be aware of. Because like I said, back in the day, teachers used to be able to pick up the phone and call and, talk to a parent. What's going on with Johnny? What's happening there? Oh, you know what? What happened was grandma moved into the home, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, or whatever.
Whole new dynamic.
A whole new dynamic. This is what's going on. Now the teacher's going, oh. So I think those are important tips.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. As we finish up our time together, I always ask our guests to take a moment with this opportunity. You have this special opportunity to speak from your heart to the heart of educators out there listening. So what would you offer in terms of encouragement for educators in classrooms right now?
I would just say build bridges. I think that's the most important thing that you could do. Be adaptable and open and welcoming to families and family dynamics. But I think that that's the most important thing that we could do, is just to build that bridge between school and home. I think we'll see so many improvements in behavior issues that I often hear. That's one of the main concerns of teachers, of behavior issues, right? Building that bridge to the family is going to be key. I mean, understanding what's going on with your students and understanding what's going on in the family.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We have to remember all of these things, like awareness, self-awareness.
There's so much.
Empathy and putting all of that into place to build those bridges. That's definitely a win, right?
It is. But at the same time, Kate, I think what's important to know, as we mentioned earlier, it doesn't happen all at once, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the way that we learn class is by practicing it, modeling it. Talk about the parallel process. Same thing, right? We just practice it. We make ourselves aware. We give us that time to pause. And we practice and we get better at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Growth mindset.
Growth mindset.
So thank you so much, Tasha, for being with us today. I appreciate it.
I'll come back anytime.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Latasha really shared so much with us today, so much to think about. With all of that information fresh in your mind, I hope you're feeling ready to explore these big ideas, to consider how are you doing in those three aspects of emotional intelligence that we covered today. Remember, self-awareness, self-reflection, and empathy. And how is that awareness showing up in your responsiveness to children? What triggers you? How can you take that pause in that moment to reflect on what else might be going on that you haven't yet considered? And one more thing to consider, how have you built bridges today? So much to think about. And, well, there's one last thing to remember. Remember, thriving educators create environments where children can thrive. So please take care of yourself, because what you do matters. You can find today's episode and transcript on our website, teachstone.com/podcasts.